than when you first became a believer. Well, I'm telling you that's been hearing the gospel for a while that the salvation of the church, our redemption, draweth near. And the more you put it off, the more on the opposition side you're going to be. I'm asking you to choose. I'm asking you to choose.
Amen.
Let's come down to the third point.
All right.
We said in point one that taking him is an urgent act. Point two, that I must not wait any longer. And thirdly, time is passing.
Amen.
Time, listen, church, is passing. Oh, John, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What do you mean time is passing? Just what I said. Time is passing. You know what we sing? We sing a song in the church. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Amen.
Hear my humble cry.
Yes.
While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. And I'm telling you this morning, the time is passing. How many of you have gone to church and opened up that songbook to that and sung it, pass me not, O gentle Savior, and know in your heart you have not taken him? And when you read the latter part of that verse, do not pass me by, Jesus is saying, I won't. Why won't you take me?
Yeah.
I must pass you by. You will not take me. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord, I love you, Lord. Become my Lord and my Savior. I give you my life, my all. I want you to direct me from this day forward. But yet we'll sing that song, do not pass me by. And I'm telling you, the time is passing. There is no time like the present time. You will not have this time, this moment, this second again. I'm looking at that clock there. In 5 seconds, now that time that's just gone by right there, it's gone. It's history. You can never get it back. We've heard the message of salvation. We have heard the gospel preached, and that moment is gone. And some of us are saying, well, I'll take my chances in a little while. I'm telling you, people, the time is passing. Why not now? I cannot understand why a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl will not say, preacher man, you are absolutely right by thus saith the Lord. Why don't I take him now? Because there's only a few ways to answer that. Because number one, I don't want him.
Amen.
Why wouldn't you want to become a new creation? Why wouldn't you want a God to lead you in absolutely everything in your life? Every decision that you've ever made, every relationship that you've ever gotten involved in, every major, every minor act that you do, the Lord will walk right by your side and provide a way for you. There is no time like the present time. There is no heart as ready as your heart can be right now. Time is passing. Your heart, not my heart. I've taken him. And you know what? I take him every day. I take him when things aren't going exactly right in my life. I take Christ every day.
Amen.
Will you say, I take him this morning? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I take you as my Lord and as my Savior? This moment is passing. It's lost forever. And how many sermons have you heard preached? How much truth have you heard come into your mind and you've said, forget it.
Yes.
I'll take him later.
Yes.
Now is the time. Point four. Because I'm excited about baptism in this. Two ordinances again in the Christian church.
Amen.
We are fulfilling them today. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Point four, the future is uncertain. Yes, it is.
Amen.
The future is uncertain. You don't know what's in the future. So see, time is passing. Don't delay. It's an urgent act. And you're doing all these things and you do not know what the future holds. The future is uncertain. I take him because God knows the future. That's why I take him. God and God alone knows the future. I don't. Time. Point four. Because I'm excited about baptism in this. The only two ordinances again in the Christian church.
Amen.
We are fulfilling them today. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Point four. The future is uncertain. Yes, it is. The future is uncertain. You don't know what's in the future. So see, time is passing. Don't delay. It's an urgent act. And you're doing all these things and you do not know what the future holds. The future is uncertain. I take him because God knows the future. That's why I take him. God and God alone knows the future. I don't.
Amen.
So in order to be captive and captivated and in custody by him, I must take him and allow him in the same time to take me. Listen, what of tomorrow? What about tomorrow? What does the Bible say about tomorrow? I don't know whether you ever thought about that. Let's go to the good James chapter 4 and verse 14. Good scripture. James speaks about tomorrow. Because some of us are saying, well, the future's not uncertain. I know what's going on. I have plans for 10 and 15 years. I know everything that's going to take place in my existence. And James tells us something. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Look what he says. You don't know what your life is. Your existence is like a vapor. Now, you children want to know what a vapor is. Your mom ever makes a pot for some tea, and she has a kettling pot, and you see that steam coming out of the pot. Where does the steam go once it comes out? How long does it exist in the form of that steam? It doesn't. It vaporizes. And God is saying, that's what your life is like. You have plans and more plans. And situations, and you can leave this place, and I'm not trying to scare you. Don't misread me. I'm not trying to scare you to come to Christ. Christ wants to love you into the kingdom, not scare you into it. See, that is not love when a deity must frighten you into his kingdom. So we see what James says. What of tomorrow? What of tomorrow? I'm telling you that you cannot delay because the future is uncertain. And so we ask the question, what of tomorrow? And tomorrow is a day that brings surprises. I'm telling you, tomorrow brings surprises. Now we go to the Bible and we see that. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. I'll let you turn there. I'm telling you that tomorrow always provides surprises. You never know what's on tomorrow. And the preacher tells us how we are to respond to tomorrows. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here he says, don't you be boastful about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm saying take Jesus now. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. The day you hear my voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to your conscience, he says, harden not your heart. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you why it's so easy to have your heart hardened. That's the devil's role. He's been your Lord for some of you from 15, 16 years. Some of you, he's been your Lord for some 20-some-odd years. Some 30-some-odd years. Some of you, 40, 50-some-odd years. Satan has been your Lord. And now we see the Lord says, don't you harden your heart against what I'm saying. See, that's what got Satan kicked out of heaven. He didn't have a heart that pumped blood, but his whole attitude was hardened against God and his righteousness. We don't know what stands in the future. That's why I said the future is uncertain. We don't know what stands there. But we do know who is standing right now at the door of our hearts and who is seeking to get in. We do know what I am saying. I don't believe that there's an intelligent person in this room right now that does not know exactly what my aim and my motive is. See, if you halfway intelligent and all, you know exactly what John is trying to get you to do. See, John is trying to get you to take Christ. I take him.
Amen.
Therefore, I'm saying, as Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you open up the affections of your life, I will come into your life, Jesus says in Revelation 3:20. And Paul goes along with what our Lord says, and he says, therefore, friend of mine, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature.
Amen.
Because the same Christ that is knocking at the door of your heart will come in. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things are become new. We do know that Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. He is seeking right now to get in. He is seeking for you to unlock it. I cannot unlock your heart from the outside. You can only unlock that door from the inside. You know the key to the door of your heart, each one of you in this room, each one of you that might listen to this sermon. You know why your heart is locked up right now. Christ says, I'm seeking to have it open. Christ says, I am pleading with you now. I am begging because you need to take me as Lord and Savior. Christ is saying, I am knocking at the doors of your affections because your affections need to have new directions in the way. Christ says, I am begging to let you learn my ways. Christ is saying that I am loving you when you are unlovable.
Amen.
Let's come to the fifth and last point. Then we're finished. But then are we finished? No, we're not finished.
No.
We've just begun.
Amen.
You see, some people say, oh, when the sermon is over, he's finished. How dare you do that?
Amen.
This message should ring in your ears for the rest of the day. I want you to go home and become very uncomfortable with this message. You should be uncomfortable when you leave this room and not take him. Fifth and lastly, you may never have an opportunity like this again.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
You may never have another opportunity like this one.
Amen.
It might not ever present itself at such a time like this. What do you mean, John? I'll tell you what opportunity. If you come to Christ and take him, we have an extra robe and some towels up there.
Amen.
You could be baptized right now.
Amen.
If you come to Christ and take him,